He'll up me. I don't know about you, but I said, I'm glad he loved me. Amen. I'm glad he saved me. Amen. If you're here this morning and he hasn't saved you, I want you to know something. He wants to. Amen. He wants to. He wants to do something in your life exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can even ask or think. Amen. And saving you is just where he starts. And then he begins to do a work in you. And he begins to move in you. And he begins to use you to his glory. I'm glad that we got a God that's worthy of being praised. A God that's worthy of us lifting our voices and saying, he's worthy to talk about. He's worthy to shout about. He's worthy to praise about. Turn in your Bibles this morning into Hosea chapter number 6. Hosea chapter number 6. As you're turning into Hosea chapter 6, I wonder this morning, we have a little job I need somebody to do. It's not a glorious job. It's just something I need somebody faithfully to do and to make sure that it is taken care of every week after the morning service. Is there anyone who would like to volunteer? It'll only take you 5 minutes to do it. If you'd like to volunteer to do it, I would... All right, I'll tell you what it is after service. But it's something that needs to be done and has to be done, and it just needs to be done after the morning service and after extended nursery and everything is going on. But we thank you for that. And turn in your Bibles, if you haven't found it, to Hosea chapter 6, Hosea chapter number 6. How many's found Hosea chapter 6? Just stick your hand up. Amen. A few folks still looking as you're looking. We just thank you for being here this morning and trust that you've come asking and seeking and desiring the Lord to do something in your life. If there's anything that's going to be done in your life, the Lord has to do it. Amen. We just want you to know, and we just want to point you to the way of discovering that the Lord can do it. If you found Hosea 6, let's stand to our feet this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. And before we do read, I just got one more thing before I forget it. Many of you know Sister Grace Barton, or knew Sister Grace Barton, and know her extended family. Her great-granddaughter Paula and her husband Sam had triplets about 8.5 months ago. And this week, the doctors told them that one of the babies, Miss Ashlyn, was still in the hospital. She had never got to come home, but had been improving and was looking good. And here a few weeks ago, got an infection in the hospital, and it caused her to have convulsions. Had done major brain damage. To make a long story short, they told them that they was going to have to take her off of the machinery. And last night, she left to go to be with the Lord at 6:11. Just pray for that family. Amen. I mean, she still got two at home, but it don't replace the one. Our hearts go out to them. And, you know, we just know that that child's in the hand of God. Amen. And I believe that the Lord bore that child home. But there's a mama, a daddy. There's a grandmom and grandparents that need some prayer. Amen. They need some comfort in. And just pray. They've been through a long battle. It's been a long and hard financial battle. It's been a long and hard struggle for 8.5 months, and to have to let go, it's just hard. So pray for them. Keep them in your prayers, if you would, in a very special way. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 6, beginning in verse number 4, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. They have dealt treacherously against me. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. For those that aren't familiar with the story of Hosea and the book of Hosea. Let me just give you kind of a recap about what's happening and what's going on. Hosea, his life and his marriage, his relationship with his wife was chosen by God to be a representation of God's relationship with his people and their relationship with him. In chapter 1, it says, "The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea the son of Beeri in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea, Go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son." And the story goes on. You get the picture of what God commanded Hosea to do. And Hosea went and took a woman. She was a very common woman, a very undesirable woman as far as the one that you would no doubt choose to pick for a wife and for a spouse. She was a prostitute. She was a daughter of whoredoms. And she never lost that desire. She never lost that lifestyle. Though Hosea and her were married and they had children, she was constantly slipping off, and she was constantly cheating. She was constantly deceiving him and treating him unlovingly, even though he was commanded to love her irregardless, and he was commanded to seek after her irregardless of what happens. And her life come to the point to where she was with her lovers and those who were telling her all these great things and were doing things for her and were supplying her needs, till one day they no longer desired her. One day they no longer wanted her, and she found herself destitute and in debt. And when she found herself in debt, she was being sold as a slave. And the Bible says that Hosea heard the word, and he came and he bought her to himself, and he took her back unto himself, and he told her that he would love her and that he would care for her. And it was a picture in this life. It was a picture in this marriage tragedy of Israel's relationship to God and God's relationship to Israel. God wanted Israel to know how much he loved them, but how much they're cheating, how much they're deceiving, and how much they're deceptive on this, and their deceitful dealings were hurting him, and what they did to him. He says here in verse number 7, and they dealt treacherously against me. Can you imagine your spouse? Can you imagine someone that you love, someone that's very dear, someone that you have trusted with everything, deceiving you and dealing treacherously with you? That's what has happened. And that's what God is trying to paint the picture of. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, a love, a covenant love like only God can give. You know, marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman. Marriage is a covenant that was instituted of God, and God has ordained it, and God will sustain it, and God has blessed it in so many ways. But we take this covenant. We take this relationship sometimes so frivolously and so callously and so casually, and we don't really grasp the depth of what has happened when two hearts and two lives become one, and we allow it to slip away. We allow it to lose its power and its joy and its blessedness in our life. That's what has happened to God's people. That's what has happened to God's people through the ages. Not only in Israel, not only those who were dwelling under the law, but those of us who live under grace. We quickly forget how great a love God has loved us with. How great a relationship He desires to have with us. And we deal treacherously with our Lord. We deal treacherously with our Savior. Because we forget how much we're loved. I want you to focus on one verse with me this morning, verse number 6. He says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." In Matthew chapter 9 and in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is being confronted by the Pharisees and by the religious crowd and by the upright and the proper crowd about things that are going on. In chapter 9, he's caught eating at Matthew Levi's house, and the Pharisees are wondering why a man like Jesus would be found sitting at a table and eating a meal with publicans and sinners. And Jesus said, "Go search this saying, go search this verse and find out what it means." And in chapter 12, his disciples and he are traveling there, are going through the fields on the Sabbath day. And his disciples pick so many ears of corn as they're going, and they're shelling off the corn they're eating as they go. And the Pharisees, again, the religious crowd, that crowd that thinks that they got everything under control and they're the only ones that are right, are looking at his disciples and they're condemning Jesus and they're condemning his disciples for what they have done on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, "Let me tell you something. If you go back and you read it in your scripts, you read it in the word that you have, you find out what David did. You'll find out what others did even on the Sabbath day." And I like what he said. He said, "But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath day." Amen. I'm glad he's Lord of all. Amen. And I'm glad he's God of everything. But he said we need to discover the meaning. We need to search some things out. And this morning, I think as we read this passage of Scripture, we need to search some things out in our lives concerning our relationship with God, concerning the relationship that he has with us. He told Ephraim, he told Judah, he said, "Your faithfulness, your goodness," in verse 4, "is as the morning cloud and as the early dew, it goes away." Have you ever loved somebody? Have you ever just put everything you had in somebody and you thought they thought of you the same way that you think of him, and then you find out that they didn't? They just went on their way. And it didn't mean a thing to them. Your life was nothing. That you don't hear from them anymore. They tell you how much they cared, but you don't hear from them. They tell you how much they care, but you never see them. Maybe if they need something, amen, they show up. Maybe if they want something, they show up. But other than that, you never hear from them. God said that that's the way his people were. He said that their goodness, their love was just like the morning cloud and the morning dew. You know, when the sun rises and it burns off, and pretty soon it's gone, amen? And pretty soon it dissipates, and it's not there anymore. That's the way so many people's love for the Lord is. Look at this verse. Jesus said we need to read this. We need to discover what it is saying. We need to discover what it means, and I want to do that this morning. Look at first what he said. There's a covenant desire. "For I desired." Amen. I desired. Amen. I desired. You know what drew me to my wife? I looked at her, and when I looked at her, I desired her. She was desirable unto me. Amen. I seen there was something right there that just made my heart go pitter-patter, and I desired her. I wanted to get to know her. I wanted to get close to her. There was a desire in my life, above all else, to get close to her, irregardless of everything else that was going on in my life round about me, everything else that was happening. I had a desire for her. I'm glad one day I had a God that desired me. Amen. He looked down at me and he saw me, and he saw me where I was. Amen. I wasn't anything fancy. He saw me where I was. I wasn't anything that was even holy or righteous or had a facsimile thereof. He seen me just like I was, and praise God, he desired me, and he desired me so much that he was willing to pay a great price for me. Amen. He said, I desired. Amen. I don't know about you this morning, but I know this. I know my wife desires me. She's always wanting me to kiss on her, hug up to her. Hey, man, be with her. Hey, man, she desires me. Hey, man. Some kids go, ew. Hey, man. But she loves me, and I love her. And we desire to be, you know, she desires me so much, I can go to the house and say, honey, you want to go to the dump with me? She'll say, yeah, I'll get right in. She'll go to the dump. She's as happy going to the dump with me. If I say, you want to go out to dinner? She'll say, yeah, let's go out to dinner. Amen. No matter what I'm doing. Amen. If I ask her, say, you want to go with you? You want to be? Yeah, she desires. She desires me, and I desire her. You know why I take her? Amen. Brother Gary Moore told me one time, was up to the fellowship ground. He says, you know, Brother Dennis, and you know, you look around, a lot of preachers you see, you never see their wives. You only see the preachers that go to meetings with me. But my wife's generally always with me. He says, you know, wherever you go, I always see your wife is always with you. He said, you don't see that a whole lot. I said, yeah. I said, I take her every place I go so I don't have to kiss her goodbye. Amen. She come out of the kitchen. He says, you know what your husband said? She said, it's hard to tell. Amen. We all take that the wrong way. I love her so much, I don't want to have to kiss her goodbye. See? Yeah. But I love her. And I like her company. I desire her. If I'm going to the dump, I want to go to the dump with her. Amen. And even if she wants me to go to JCPenney's and I don't want to go, I go with her. Amen. Because she wants me to be there. You know what? You know what? Because she desires me. I'll go to where she wants to go. Amen. Because she desires me, she goes to where I want to go. Even though it might not be her most favorite place. But you see, there's a desire there. That's God's covenant love. Amen. He makes the woman, the man, cleave unto his wife. He said, read back there in Genesis chapter number 2 and chapter number 3 as he's talking about that relation. Chapter number 2, I guess it is really. But he's talking about that marriage covenant, that marriage relationship, and how we have a desire for one another. I'm glad that as I can recognize and I can see in my marriage relationship, he wanted Israel to see in Hosea's marriage relationship how that covenant desire needed to be in place for our hearts and our lives to continue going on the way that they should. But Gomer, she had a hard heart and she had a cold heart, and her desire wasn't always to her husband. It wasn't always to Hosea, and God placed within Hosea a special heart. I believe God had to work in that man's heart to love the way that he did, because every time she cheated on him, God would tell him, say, go and yet love a woman loved of her lovers. Go yet love an unfaithful woman. Go yet love a cheating woman. He wanted Israel to see, and he wants us to see, that irregardless of where our hearts are, because of his covenant and his declaration unto us, he loves us unconditionally. Doesn't mean that he approves, but he loves us. And he wants us to love him. He said, I desired mercy. He said, God wants mercy. God gives mercy. We got to understand that word mercy is a Hebrew word. It's a Hebrew word, hesed. And it's kind of like the word love in the New Testament. And how many connotations the word love has. We got the agape love, we got the filial love, and we got the eros love. We got different kinds of love that are all encompassed and they're all included in one word. The word hesed, here's John Bowman's description of the word. I liked it. He says, the Hebrew word for mercy in this passage is usually important term in the Old Testament, something like agape, like love in the New Testament. The word hesed is used 248 times in the Old Testament. In the King James, it's translated mercy 149 times, kindness 40 times, loving kindness 30 times. It's translated by other similar words in the Word of God 27 times. We understand that mercy isn't only talking about looking past it. It isn't only talking about moving with compassion or moving with an unjudgmental desire, but it's talking about moving in love. Could be said mercy is the root of God's love. Could it not? But it could be said that love is the root of God's mercy. Amen? Because it's extended. It's shared. It's one that is put forward. He said, I don't desire a whole lot. He said, but I want your love. I want you to love me. I desired mercy. I want your loving kindness. I want you to love me like I love you. I want you to desire me like I desire you. I want you to want to be with me like I want to be with you. God says, I don't care about a whole lot of things. I don't care about religious formality. He said, but my desire is to have a personal, intimate, covenant relationship with you. Not treacherously, as you have dealt with me, but tenderly, lovingly. Jesus says, discover what this means. I discovered that God wants me to love him like he loves me. The question that we have to discover for ourselves and we have to ask ourselves is, do I love the Lord like he loves me? Do I love the Lord with the intensity that he loves me? Do I want to be with the Lord in the time and in the place and in the same manner that he wants to be with me? Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something. We spend a lot of time together. Sometimes I get on her nerves. Amen. I can pluck her. I know how to pluck her last nerve, too. Mm-hmm. Amen. Sometimes I pluck it. I shouldn't, but I do. And she loves me anyway. Sometimes I make her so mad she could bite a nail in half. And I know she's mad. She'll tell me I love you anyway. You know why? Because she's got a deep abiding love. We've got a covenant love. We got a love that goes past all the situations. We got a love that can get past all our shortcomings. We got a love that abides because we made a covenant. I stood right here about 41 and a half, well, just over 41 years ago. I stood right about, it would have had to been right about here, wasn't it, Brother Curtis? Amen. I stood right about here and I pledged my love. I pledged my faithfulness. I pledged richer or poorer, better or worse, sickness and health and all that stuff. I pledged to her that I was going to love her, and she pledged to me that she was going to love me. God said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. God said, I've loved you so much that I was willing to pay the great price that you might be mine. God said, you know what I desire? I don't desire all the religious formality, but I just desire your heart. I desire your love. You say, well, isn't it important for us to come to church? Very. I think if you really love him, you'd be here. I think if you really realize how much he loves you, let me change that up. I think if you really realized how much he loves you, you'd want to be here. Amen? Irregardless of what your relationship is with him. He says, I desire mercy. I desire you to know me. I desire that in my life and in my existence that I can look down upon you and I can see that I have your heart because you know that you have my heart. You're my people. I've loved you. You're my people. I've given everything for you. You're my people. I brought you out of bondage. And my desire and my hope and my dream is for mercy. And he said, it's not for sacrifice. And the knowledge of God, I want you to know me. I want you to call upon me. I want you to speak my name. I want my name to be the first on your lips, the first on your mind, the first in everything that you think about doing. You know what? That woman right there, she don't do anything without she thinks about what. Sometimes she'll aggravate me to death because she'll call me up and ask me about the simplest little thing. I say, just do it. Just do it. Well, I wanted to know what you thought. I wanted to know how you felt about this. I don't care what color the curtains are. Amen. But in her heart and her mind, it's so important that I be satisfied, that I be happy. She's looking at curtains. I like them, but I don't know whether Dennis will. I like them, but I don't know if that's going to suit him. Let me check with him. Amen. I'm right at the top of her priority. I'm right at the top of her list. You know, Hosea, he had a wife that was unfaithful. She could care less what Hosea thought. She could care less what Hosea wanted. She wanted to go do her own thing. And that's kind of like us as people. We get in that relationship and we don't care about what anybody else thinks. And sometimes it really don't matter what anybody else thinks. But I tell you who it does matter. It matters what God thinks. Amen? And it matters what God feels. And we ought to ask ourselves, what does God want? What does God desire of me? Because I know his desire to me. She asks. She seeks. She wants to know. What is it? What is it? What do you want for dinner? I don't care. Just fix something. But what do you want? It doesn't matter. If you fix it, I'll eat it. Amen? But what do you want? Why? She wants to satisfy me. A covenant relationship desires to meet the needs of one another. God has met our physical needs. Praise God, everything I have, everything I know, everything I can acquire in this life, I know is a blessing from God. Amen? Amen. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is a gift that God has bestowed upon us. And without it, we don't have a hope of eternity in heaven. Without it, we're destined to a place called hell. His desire for me is for the best. But what's my desire to him? But then what we see, there's also not a desire, there's a design that's here. He says, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. We have this idea that just coming to church satisfies, just coming to church suffices, just bringing an offering, just putting something in the offering plate, or just doing this or just doing that suffices to God. But it doesn't. God designed our worship. God designed the way that we worship and how we worship and why we worship. But God's design in worship is not that we would go through a form and a fashion, but that we would do it because we love him. Amen? All the things we can do are meaningless unless a heart is holy in it. I can treat her like dirt, talk to her like dirt, make her feel like dirt, and go to work every day and bring home a paycheck and throw it in her face and say, here's a paycheck, and not show her any love. And not love her at all. Do you think she'd really feel loved? I don't think so. But God says that's the way we are. He says, discover what this means. I desired mercy and not to sacrifice and not to burn offerings. Discover what it means. God don't want you just to show up. God just don't want you just to be here. But God wants your heart in the service. God wants your heart into the amens. God wants your heart into the, man, I tell you what, that song, Wonderful Grace, man, I tell you what, I love that song. Amen. I tell you, that song stirs me. I remember the first time I heard that song sung, I said, wow, isn't it the truth? Amen. Wow. How much God really cares about me. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Man, that stirs, that does something. He wants our hearts to be in the songs and in the praises. He said he inhabits the praises of his people. But he also said that the praise of our lips is our sacrifice. It's required of us. But just saying amen to go along with the crowd, just saying amen to make yourself feel better isn't what it's all about. You know, there's ways to say I love you that are just superficial. But then there are ways that say I love you. And you never have to speak a word. You know, it comes from the heart. We communicate. We've been married so long, we don't even have to speak to one another sometimes. Amen? Because that covenant love, it was designed by God. He put it in place. His relationship to man was designed by him. His means of worship and his means to come into God was of God's design. But he says, I don't even want it. I can't have one without the other. He said, I desired mercy and not sacrifice. Knowledge of God and not burnt offerings. One without the other is useless. You can have a marriage license and a marriage certificate. Hey, man, but it really don't mean a whole lot if both hearts aren't in it. God said a man would leave his father and mother and would find a woman and they would get married and they would become one flesh. But if the love isn't there, if the adoration for one another isn't there, it's just a mockery of a marriage relationship. Amen? He said, I desire this relationship. Even though I've said that you're to bring the sacrifice, even though I've said that you're to offer the burnt offering, it's meaningless, it's useless if it's not done in faith. If it's not done because you truly believe in what you're doing. Over in Samuel, 1 Samuel, I think it's chapter 12, Saul decides to offer a sacrifice. He didn't do what he was told to do. And he decides to start making a sacrifice on his own. And he was chided for it. Then he was told again to do what he didn't do. And there in chapter 12, he was confronted. And the old prophet Samuel said to obey is better than sacrifice. See, if God's got your heart, you're going to be obedient unto him. If he's got your heart, you're going to be in his word. Amen? Amen. If he's got your heart, you're going to be in service. If he's got your heart, your frame of mind is going to be towards him in all things. You're going to be looking to him and you're going to be desiring him in everything. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice. We need to get our hearts in line and in tune with what God said, to worship him like he said, with our whole heart. Isaiah chapter 1. He said, I've had enough of your vain oblations. In other words, he said, I've had enough of your vainly worshiping me. He said, I would not away with it. In Psalm chapter 50, he said, I've had enough of your vain sacrifices. He says, it's not what I desire. It's not what I want. I designed a system of worship where when you come and you bring your sacrifice, you come because you realize how helpless you are. What was the sacrifice brought for? It was brought for an atonement for sin. What was the sacrifice brought for? It was brought to that we might know that God was forgiving our sins. What was his son sent for? That we might be reminded that there was nothing that we could do in and of and for ourselves because of our sins. But God sent his son into the world to die for us, and that while we were yet sinners, praise God, we could know eternal salvation. Our worship is in faith. In Hosea's time, it was looking to the cross. Our worship this morning is in faith. It's looking back to the cross and the finished work of Calvary and the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. I'm not here because I have to be. I'm here because I need to be. And I don't need to be here because he said I had to be here. I need to be here because I want the world to know. Amen. That I know what Jesus did for me. Died for a wretched old sinner like me. What's he delight in? Worship that our hearts are in. What's he delight in? Knowledge of the name of God. That we realize what God has done for us. We realize how good he's been for us. We realize that he sent his son to die for us. We realize that all our hope is wrapped up in him and in nothing else. Jesus said, discover what this means. It means he wants my whole heart. It means he wants me to be mindful of how much he loves me. Amen. Before I got saved and after I got saved, I'm mindful of how much he loves me. I worship because I'm mindful. Praise God, I'm saved. If you're here this morning, amen. If you're here this morning and you realize it, the song says, is anybody out there found him faithful? Anybody out there that knows he's able? Just say amen. Amen. I tell you what, this morning, I realize how foolish I am sometimes. I realize how foolish I am, and I hurt my wife at times. I realize how foolish I am. I hurt others that love me at times. I realize how foolish I am sometimes when I want to do things my own way and I disobey my Lord. I realize how I hurt him. But I realize because of a covenant relationship that we have, he loves me anyway, just like she loves me, in spite of who I am, in spite of what I do. He loves me like that. He cares for me. He cares for you. If you're here this morning and you don't know him as your Savior, he's not special to you in your heart. He's not first and foremost. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. If you're here this morning and you realize today that he loves you so greatly, he loves you so immensely, and yet you don't even share and you don't even show how much you love him like he loves you in your daily life. He wants to take care of that. He said, I'll speak comfortably to her. Is he speaking to your heart? He said over there in Hosea, talking about restoring Israel, he said, I'll speak comfortably to her. I'll speak compassionately, lovingly. I'll speak kindly. Is he speaking to your heart this morning? He wants to save your soul. He wants to restore a broken relationship. He wants to mend a wounded heart. He wants you this morning. He wants you in the worst way. That's his desire. Brother Jim and Sister Mary, get a song.